Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Kroger. Fresh for everyone.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I think it's fun to watch a recruiting cycle kind of take shape. And with the 2022 class, I think we're definitely getting an example of that. Obviously, this continues to be challenged by the fact that there is no visits. The dead period continues. And by the way, our position on this has not changed. This is more challenging for the recruits themselves than it is for people who want to talk and cover recruiting, or a program like Georgia who wants to produce an elite class. Georgia, as last year proves, is going to get an elite class, whether there's visits in traditional recruiting activity or not. We are obviously going to have the news to cover however it unfolds. The real challenge here is for the recruits themselves who aren't getting to take these visits right now. But nonetheless, even without all of that, there is still the version of all this that kind of takes shape, where the personalities of many of the either Georgia recruiting targets or Georgia commits or whatever else, when this kind of takes shape and kind of comes to be known here, it's kind of fun watching all that play out. And an example of that was going back to Wednesday on Before the Hedges, presented by Kroger. Now, Jeff Centel, the host of that program, will be with us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger as well, here in just a couple of minutes. But as a way of kind of leading into what Jeff and I are going to do talking recruiting later on, I want to give you a little taste of a great interview that Jeff did with the fantastic defensive line commit, Bear Alexander, for the class of 2022. This was a big commit when it came down. We said that because it was coming right there at the end of the 2021 cycle. And what we said at the time, and I believe what we said then, has been validated over the course of these last couple of weeks, and we'll get to more on that in a moment. But what we said at the time was, hey, for anybody you think Georgia is still chasing in the class of 2021, or any of the high-profile, you know, transfer portal-type guys you think Georgia might be looking at, the acquisition of Bear Alexander for the 2022 class 3-4 years from now may be viewed as important a personnel move as anything else you could be talking about. Late addition of the 2021 class, big-time transfer, whatever else. Sort of fast-forward 4 years from now, if you could have another heir apparent to Jordan Davis on this UGA roster, even though there's a chance that Alexander's player profile is slightly different. It's not different enough not to mention Jordan Davis in this discussion. Would you like to have another Jordan Davis winning the wings? As a Georgia fan, of course you would. And so therefore, what we said was, at the time when Alexander joined this class, this is as big as anything that Georgia could have done that very week. And all of a sudden now, you learn more about him as a player, you get to know him more as a person, and you just love the personality here. Much the same way, by the way, that many of us have enjoyed big number 99 Jordan Davis personality while he's been at Georgia these last 3 years, heading into his fourth year in the Georgia program coming up. Maybe Bear Alexander could give off similar vibes to that in the future there at UGA. He joined Jeff from his home state there in Texas via the magic of video teleconference this week, and I love the story that Bear tells about why it is that he chose Georgia. First of all, if you're a Georgia fan, this will make you feel good about the way in which UGA is orchestrating its recruiting machine way back when guys could still go back and take visits and be on campus and do all kinds of stuff like that. But it also gives you, I think, a really fun window into Bear Alexander as well. So this is from Before the Hedges, presented by Kroger, from this past Wednesday. Bear Alexander talking about the moment when he realized, you know what, Georgia actually might be a pretty good place for me. Here is Big Bear.
With COVID and everything happening, it kind of made me, like, speed up my decision around that time. So you take when I went and worked out in Georgia, that was 2019 of last year. It was hot. Like, it was like 90 some degrees, and my defensive line coach had on a sweatshirt, and we was literally grinding in 90 degree weather. And then you have Kirby Smart on a golf cart screaming, and just being in that moment and being around these guys, man, it was surreal. So, and I say Georgia, why I chose Georgia, because Kirby Smart is defensive minded. He was the defensive coordinator at Alabama when they produced defensive tackles, and they won quite a few games. So I say that to say, and he actually played at Georgia, so he's not leaving there no time soon for no NFL job. Like, I feel like he's comfortable with Georgia, and he's comfortable with his staff, and it just made sense overall.
So there are two things that Bear Alexander says there that I want to make sure that you don't mention. One of these we've hit very hard before, but it's important to bring this back again. Y'all don't sleep on the work that Trey Scott is doing as Georgia's defensive line coach. back in 2019, Bear Alexander tells a story of being on campus at UGA going through a workout, and you know, he kind of views Trey Scott as, he says, my defensive line coach. That seems to be the kind of bond that Scott is forming regularly with the very best defensive line prospects in the country, Bear Alexander for the class of 2022, just the latest example of that. We've been saying for a while that if you want to make a list of the truly special recruiters right now for Georgia, your list better have Trey Scott at very near the top of that. And that is a huge, huge deal because defensive line play continues to be extraordinarily important around the SEC. You already know that. But many of you are also aware that there was a time a couple of years ago where there were some legit questions related to how Georgia was recruiting the defensive line position. Yet I think if you go back and look, Scott has answered those questions emphatically, bringing in a Trey Walker, bringing in a Jalen Carter, bringing in a, you know, a Bear Alexander now for the class of 2022. The development that's gone on for guys on the field, Jordan Davis, who's become a truly top flight player at that interior defensive line position, Devontae Wyatt, who I think has become a really good player under Trey Scott's watch there as well. Back in 2019, Bear Alexander saw some things from Trey Scott that made Bear think, hey, this may be my defensive line coach. And if that's the kind of vibe you're giving off as a recruiter, you're doing something right. So continue to notice that about Trey Scott, the work that he's doing there as Georgia's defensive line coach. In addition to that, and this is a little bit more abstract, do you remember when the Kirby Smart recruiting machine first kind of really got cranked up? Class of 2016, class of 2017, and Georgia's winning all these recruiting battles, in some cases the kinds of battles that it had not won in like the last few years or whatever. And I think one of the reasons that we were given that Georgia was able to win some of those recruiting battles is, oh, well, these were guys that Kirby Smart had relationships with when he was at Alabama, and Smart was a defensive, you know, assistant coach back then. His ability to recruit was not restricted the way that it is for a head coach. These are guys that Kirby Smart has close personal bonds with. And this is probably not the most perfect description, but it's the only description I can kind of come up with. It almost seems like at times Smart was winning those recruiting battles by, you know, kind of being a friend to those, you know, players. Like I said, that's not the perfect description, but those players had kind of a casual relationship with Smart. Some of the videos that escaped out from that time would see a very lighthearted Smart kind of joking around and, you know, kind of laughing. And it was pretty clear that the players didn't see Smart as a peer necessarily, but they didn't see him as some sort of intimidating figure, some kind of like, you know, coach that exists inside of a, you know, a glass case or an ivory tower, someone they feel like they can never truly get a chance to know. I think many of them felt like they had a strong personal bond with Kirby Smart, and that's a good thing at that time. However, notice though the word that Bear Alexander uses right there when he describes Kirby Smart. This isn't, hey, you know, joking, you know, kind of young coach just kind of getting started. What's the word that Bear Alexander describes? He says it was surreal. It was surreal seeing Kirby Smart driving around a golf cart, yelling and getting involved and doing all those kinds of things. And I don't want to put words in Bear's mouth, but it's almost like your takeaway from that is, oh, Bear Alexander now views Kirby Smart as a coach that he's seen on TV, a coach that he views as somewhat famous. And admittedly, I've kind of always thought this was true myself, that it must be really weird once you start getting recruited by guys that you've seen on TV a whole bunch that most of us would kind of treat like celebrities, and all of a sudden they kind of want something from you. I'm sure that is, to use Bear Alexander's word, they're surreal. But the way in which Alexander describes this, I think, does kind of give you an indication of how Smart's stature has grown in the eyes of these recruits over the course of the last few cycles as Smart has kind of gone through his early tenure here as Georgia coach. He's gone from being a guy that knows all these guys as an assistant coach to now being a guy that these recruits know as a big-time head coach. And obviously Smart's got more steps he's going to take along the way towards winning a national championship and everything else. But I think when you listen to the way that Alexander talks, I do think you get an example of how this Georgia coaching staff led by Kirby Smart, the stature of the staff has grown. All of a sudden now it's not just, oh yeah, that's my buddy Kirby, I've known him for years. All of a sudden now it's surreal. Wow, that's Kirby Smart on a golf cart. I saw him on TV. I think that's pretty interesting. One more from Bear Alexander, and honesty compels me to admit, I do kind of keep this on my mind, that when Georgia goes out and gets, you know, top 25 player from the state of Texas, you know, top 10 defensive lineman, you know, these are typically pretty contested recruitments, right? You know, it's not easy to just go out and yank yourself a defensive lineman. You got to usually kind of fight those battles. And, you know, I'm admittedly still left to wonder, you know, how much are the Texas schools, maybe particularly Texas A&M, going to be a factor in the remainder of Bear Alexander's recruitment? Is it going to be easy for Georgia to hold on, you know, to his recruitment and his commitment? With that in mind, you know, Jeff Sintel asked Bear Alexander kind of, you know, what his feelings were on all of that. And all of this kind of leads it, the genesis of this question is, hey, what was the reaction to the Georgia coaches when you told them you were committing? And Alexander gave a very honest answer to that, how the Georgia coaches responded to his commitment. This is Bear Alexander again.
To this day, they still don't believe that they have a shot, but they know the love is real. And if they're tuning in right now, I'm 100% committed to the University of Georgia. Like, I don't feel like that is changing no time soon.
So listen, that's all you can ask for, right? As I said before, my expectation is this is still a contested recruitment. I obviously believe that Georgia's in great shape to hold on to that commitment based on what Bear Alexander said there. But it's kind of nice to hear him being as open as he chose to be with Jeff Sintel this past week. By the way, Connor Riley's got a great story up at DogNation.com right now about just how much Alexander has jumped up in the latest recruiting rankings. So Alexander now, according to the 24/7 Sports Composite, is now the number 86 overall player in the country. That's up from number 148 before, now that the recruiting services are doing some of these re-ranks. By the way, Gunnar Stockton also kind of moving up very well there as well. He's up to number 20 now from number 28 before. So what you clearly see is some big-time 2022 prospects in the Georgia fold. In some cases, guys that Georgia's going to be chasing down in the weeks to come. We'll have more with Jeff Sintel coming up on that in a moment. You clearly see some fan favorites emerge. I think Georgia fans are having a great time with this 2022 class right now. I think the prospects in this recruiting cycle are making the best of the situation. They can't take visits, but they're doing everything they can to learn about the schools they're interested in. And the good news is some of the very best prospects in the country are more than a little bit interested in UGA. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Kroger. Of course, you know, we're so much more than a podcast. Streaming video, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, all the podcast platforms as well. Radio at noon with our friends at Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref each and every day there as well. And really, really, really appreciate you being a part of everything we're doing here today as well. And of course, a huge thanks to our friends at Kroger for making it all possible. And listen, it is not too soon to start thinking about what's going to be going down for Easter. The Easter season there is upon us there at Kroger. Everything that you need to get ready for Easter, all the essentials for Easter egg dyeing, everything else that kind of goes along with that, of course, the great holiday meal ideas and everything else, you can get all of that at Kroger. Here's a website to keep in mind as we head towards the big day coming up really soon. Of course, we're all excited about spring. Can't wait for that. Keep this website in mind. It's Kroger.com/Easter. Kroger.com/Easter, or you can just sort of stop by and see your local Kroger here today and get a whole lot more information about that as we get ready for the big day coming up there at Kroger. Not too far from now, by the way. All right, we're going to get Jeff Sintel here coming up in just a moment. Before that, let's go around the doghouse. And I want to point your attention to something else that appeared at DogNation.com here within the last little bit. And we can do this pretty quick here because I just think there's a very simple point that needs to be made. One of the things you see us do sometimes, we have these cover four written pieces where instead of the cover four live, which is the four of us, myself, Jeff Sintel, Mike Griffith, Connor Riley, kind of debating on screen. Sometimes we have just a little bit of a topic. We'll hit a couple of sentences on there at DogNation.com. Jeff Sintel usually writes these up. And the one that got published yesterday was related to the biggest offseason concern, the biggest offseason storyline. Yeah, biggest offseason concern for Georgia. And you have a couple different answers here. You have Mike Griffith on the idea of reloading the secondary. You have Connor Riley on the offensive line sorting itself out. Those are all legitimate issues. We've dealt with those plenty of times here on the show before. Jeff Sintel talking about getting better at the wide receiver position, which is also something we've kind of addressed there as well, which kind of leads into the point that I made too. And I think most of you will agree with me on this. In fact, in some form or fashion, we've touched on this in most of our recent days here on this program. If I were to ask you, what is the biggest offseason concern for Georgia? To me, it goes back to something we saw on the show a few days ago. That if you look at like Athlon Sports that ranked the most talented programs in the country for this upcoming year, you see Georgia at number two, and the other four teams around Georgia in that top five are the four programs that have won national championships in the college football playoff era. Alabama just above Georgia, then Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, kind of right there in the mix. Now listen, what do those programs all have in common? the one thing that in the years in which those teams have won the national championships, they've all had in common was incredibly explosive offense. Now, you need dynamic defense, too, and sagging quarterbacks, things like that. We've talked about that. But if you were to say, what's the one big difference between Georgia and the teams that have won national championships in the college football playoff era? Last year, Alabama averaged 48 points a game. LSU the year before that averaged 45 points a game. Clemson, the 2018 national champion, averaged 40-plus points a game. You have to go back to Alabama in 2017 to find a national champion that didn't average 40-plus points per game. That's what Georgia is staring at it for this upcoming season. Not just beating up on the weaker non-conference opponents, but doing this in SEC play there as well. So listen, as spring practice gets ready to begin, it's not too far away from now, as spring practice gets ready to begin, I totally acknowledge that the most important position battle this program may have is around the offensive line. And one of the biggest unknowns related to this program may be, as Mike Griffith suggested, in the defensive secondary. But there is no bigger question than, can Georgia take those final steps and become as explosive, as prolific as the very best offenses have been in the country? If Georgia can, they are absolutely a legitimate national championship contender. And if they're not, they will likely be nowhere near that conversation when the season comes to an end. So make sure you check out the Cover 4 Live, or I should say the Cover 4 post there at DogNation.com. You can get yourself a lot more on that. We got Jeff Sintel coming up here today. Let me also give a quick shout out to my friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia while we get Jeff here on the phone. Of course, they are the ones know when it comes to foundation, waterproofing issues. They take great care of you and all of that. They're proud partners of you. UGA makes them fun to do business with. Always great to support a company that supports UGA. And frankly, it's always nice of all of you who've been so kind to support those who've been good friends of ours here on Dog Nation Daily for such a long time. And ESOG has been with us for a long time. We're big fans of theirs. I also feel comfortable recommending them to you because I know they've got two full-time engineers on staff. I'm a homeowner. Listen, if you see those cracks show up in your foundation, that water creeping into your basement, your crawl space, your garage area, wherever water kind of creeps in, I know how, you know, anxiety producing that can be. So I want to be feeling good about the recommendation I make to you. And I have great confidence the folks at Engineered Solutions of Georgia are going to take great care of you. You can find them by just simply dialing this number. Very easy number to get in touch with. Call 678-ESOG now. That's 678-ESOG now. And that'll get you in touch with my friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia. Really happy to have you with us here on our program here today, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. Before we're done, I'm going to tell you why Tennessee fans, by the time the day is done, may be very unhappy on social media. And for those of you that love reveling in that, you may get a chance to do that before we're done here today. But for now, on everything related to UGA recruiting, let's get ready to talk to Dog Nation's recruiting insider, Jeff Sintel, here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Always great to get a chance to speak to Jeff Sintel. Jeff, great to have you on the program. Before you joined us here today, I had a chance to share some audio from your terrific interview with UGA defensive line commit, a guy who's flying up the recruiting rankings right now, Big Bear Alexander. Jeff, Bear's a great personality. I know that he's going to do some big things for Georgia on the football field there as well. But, man, you want to talk about a fun addition to this class, the kind of guy that I think quickly becomes a fan favorite with UGA fans. Boy, Bear seems to check every box in regards to that, doesn't he?
Yeah. Hey, good morning, everybody. Hey, hello, Facebook. Hello, YouTube. And hello, Brandon. Man, it's funny. I've been doing those for almost, 5.5 years now. And pretty clearly, I got to say he's one of the best five guests we've ever had. And we try to have at least, 80% of the class, each class, all the commitments when they commit. We try to have them on maybe the next week. Maybe it takes 2 weeks. I thought he's going to approach, Brandon, and I'm not going to say this lightly, he's going to approach quarterback status, I think, with the fan base, five-star quarterback status with the fan base. Maybe, someone told me a while back, and I was really humbled by what they said. They said if Dog Nation would have been around when Roquan Smith was coming up the ranks, a lot of people would have loved him a lot sooner. And I was like, well, it's really cool saying that. But I think this is the kind of feeling I get now with Barry Alexander. I was absolutely floored with his story. I've been floored with his story, but how he handles himself, how larger than life he seems, the things he says, you can tell, despite some very hard living conditions and a lot of obstacles in his life, that the right people have poured into him, and they've made a difference in his life. And we're going to have kind of cut-ups and takeaways of maybe the five coolest things, like bear tracks, we might call it, that he said in that interview. And there's a lot to choose from with Bear Alexander. So many things that he just says. The things he said about Kirby Smart, the things he said about Georgia, the things he said about wearing number 99. It's a lot of great stuff, and he is a personality above all else. But then, you know, I asked him his favorite play, Brandon, and it was a play where a teammate made, that he had a hand in helping a teammate make the play. And he stayed on. I mean, he could have done the whole hour show with him probably. He loved it that much, and I'll probably never forget, like, when we asked everybody on the feed to say, hey, if you guys are excited about him, if you appreciate him spending some time with us today, drop a bear emoji in the comments. And we had so many of those. And I know, like, it's funny, his family told me after that it was over, they went and rewatched it again on the big screen in their TV, in their television room. And they just rewatched the whole thing over, and Bear had a very good time, and I'm glad everybody made him feel very welcome.
You know, one of the things I did touch on a moment ago as well, the moment when he says the Georgia coaching staff, you know, they maybe had a hard time, you know, really believing I was going to commit or whatever his exact words were on that. Admittedly, Jeff, I've kind of said the same thing. Not that I have any intel or any kind of belief that Alexander wouldn't stick with his pledge, but these are tough recruitments. You know, one of the top players in the state of Texas, top couple dozen players in Texas, a guy that's flying up the recruiting ranks, you know, one of the highest rated defensive linemen in the country. These are typically kind of Pier 6 Brawl style recruitments. And it was interesting to hear Alexander acknowledge the fact that Georgia seemingly knows it's in a fight to keep Alexander, although certainly he says all the right things about the level of his Georgia pledge.
Yeah, it's funny. That's just kind of how Big Bear is. We put on forumdognation.com. I know that we have a reputation for telling really long form stories about these players, but on forumdognation.com, we have a thread. It's the Intel thread where I basically give them very digestible, easy, quick hit information. And I've kind of felt this way about Bear for, like, I don't know, a month now, and basically ever since he committed, that I thought this one is going to stick for a lot of the reasons. And one of the reasons I shared maybe a week ago was that the phone number has changed. So it's really hard for those people that were recruiting him heavily to get in touch with him now. He's not going to go to any camps. He's going to go to camps, some camps maybe, to show his face and talk to other guys about Georgia. But there was a sense of recruiting fatigue there where he just really got tired of it, and really he saw everything he needed to see. I think one of the key takeaways with Bear is the relationships he's already formed now with guys like Jeremiah Alexander, uncommitted guy, Mikael Williams, uncommitted guy, Christian Miller, uncommitted guy, and then a commitment like Tyree West as well out of South Georgia. He wants to hunt with him. He wants to attack the football. He wants to get home. He wants to get down to 305 pounds. I mean, it was a very wide-ranging interview, but the thing is he wants to build a championship defense around him with all the right guys. And, man, he certainly has the personality to do so. He has oodles of personality to do so. I mean, this is the type of guy, even when Brennan, he respects the path he's been on. So let's say football doesn't work out. Let's say football works out incredibly. What he wants to do is he either wants to be a mentor, a youth leader, a coach, but most importantly, a teacher and a coach in his area, so he could pour into others the same way that folks have poured into him and made a true difference in his life. And there's a lot of good things to like, Brendan. He's got family. Some of his mom's family is in the state of Georgia. Some of his dad's family is in the state of Georgia. Really good friends in the state of Georgia. He likes the fact that he's going to be living near Atlanta. That's a great, vibrant southern city for a young man like Bear Alexander to grow up in. And, I mean, there's just a lot of things here that makes me think that this one's really going to stick. But I'm sure you're definitely empowered to know that Georgia's going to recruit him like he's slipping, when Bears is going to be about as hard to move as any of us normal human beings would be to move him.
That's exactly right. And it also kind of leads into something else that you wrote at DogNation.com this week, which, you know, when you talk about those big 2022 storylines, I mean, I think that Alexander is a part of a big 2022 storyline for right now, which is last time I think you were on the show a week ago, we talked almost exclusively about defensive linemen, you know, with the exception of the five-star quarterback who's in the fold. I don't know that any position group is taking shape better right now for Georgia when it comes, you know, than the defensive line. That just seems to be right now of the emerging storylines for Georgia. And you kind of touched on some of that this week, whether it be guys like Alexander or West who are in the fold, or, you know, guys that you're kind of chasing in the weeks to come. It just seems like right now that defensive line group is kind of way out in front in terms of easy projections to make at the moment, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I don't know why, Brandon, but I hear some old sound bites from Duck Dynasty in my head right now saying, like, that's a fact, Jack, about how you're talking about D-line recruiting. Brandon, Travion Scott's approaching the point where you probably need to recognize his birthday every year on the show.
Yeah.
Or maybe his hiring date. And I say this because I went and looked back at it, and we're going to write about this weekend. The reasons, or maybe the pearls I've picked up on, where I think there is a true chance that Georgia goes 3-for-3 with the best defensive line prospects in the state this year. And you look back through Kirby Smart's time at Georgia, he's never done that. The defensive line coach has never done that. And sure, recruiting rankings are subjective, but I think recruiting rankings have also never been more accurate than they are right now.
Yep.
Especially pre-COVID times where everybody got to see him. But I think it's more a measure of, I want to say, street cred or pull. That's one of the things I wrote a really long story about, storylines. Those are the five moving pieces where I can already see the Tetris in this class starting to come together. And when you think about the defensive line groups, first of all, Christian Miller, amazing player. Chuck Smith, Get Off champion, Late Night Pass Rush Academy. He's rated like 165 overall in the country at defensive tackle. And those rankings are going to go up. But let's say Georgia pulls in. They've already got Alexander committed. They got West committed. That's a top 80, a top 50. Mikael Williams, if they pull him in, would be a top 45 recruit. I think he's bound for five-star status. And then you add in Miller, who would be the fourth highest-rated defensive lineman commitment in the class. Folks, to put this into perspective, Miller is right now as highly rated as Jonathan Jefferson and Tyrion Ingram Dawkins were in the 2021 class, and everybody was rolling up their sleeves and hiking up their britches about Georgia signing those guys. And those might have been the fourth highest rated, fifth highest rated D lineman in this class. Georgia's never went 3-for-3 with the top defensive line targets in the state of Georgia or recruits in the state of Georgia in Kirby Smart's time. They've never even went 3-for-5, much less 3-for-3 with the top three highest ranked defensive line targets in Kirby Smart's time. And anytime on your program or on all our platforms, we can say, okay, this is a recruiting peg, and this is an era where a Kirby Smart-led program at Georgia has never gone before. That's saying something.
No, I think that's exactly right. The other storyline that I thought was interesting from the story that you wrote, and this is one that I would say I have a little less certainty about, although I don't have any reason to think it's going badly, is that need to really nail some big-time playmakers at the wide receiver position for this class, both in terms of the fact that it wasn't a huge recruiting priority for the class of 2021 after Georgia had signed such a big receiving class in 2020. But, Jeff, I think there's also some legitimate wishes on the part of Georgia fans to see the success that Georgia has recruiting quarterbacks pay off in terms of also bringing in elite receivers to go along with those quarterbacks. I think when we watch, whether you want to talk about Kojo Antwi or whoever you want to mention here, I think watching what happens at the wide receiver spot for Georgia in this 2022 class is also just a gigantic storyline. And as I said before, admittedly, I probably feel like I'm a little less certain of where all that stands now than I am about how things seem to be trending with some of the top defensive line prospects.
Yeah, Brandon, that's really it, man. You nailed it. Yeah, I can share that I'm hearing great things about Adonai Mitchell so far at, you know, workouts, off-season, how he's looked, how he's absorbing the culture and the habits and what he needs to do to excel at Georgia. I might even say that Mitchell might even perform like a top 150 recruit, even though he was, I think, a 280, 290, 300, something like that. He's going to flash that type of ability. He's about 6'3", bigger than most thought. Actually, 6'4", he's bigger than most thought when he got to Georgia, when you look at that official roster height and weight. And that's sort of like, sometimes I see those things on the official roster pages and I go, wow, it's sometimes Georgia's showing a little bit of their cards, and other times they're not showing all their cards with how big and how massive these guys are. But you hear good things about Ladd McConkey as well, but that's the redshirt freshman from the 2020 class. But there's no doubt, Brandon, Georgia needs Chortle, Chuckle, Brandon Adams-type talents at receiver. I think Kojo Antwi, his ratings have got a big boost. He's now a top 100 overall recruit. The young man out of Lambert High School, the Longhorn, I think he is a must-get, must-sign for Georgia. And I think one of the other things I wanted to write about, Brandon, is here's what I'm seeing that's different. And this is through no fault of Brock Vandegrift, because Brock Vandegrift basically wore three weight belts and had half the grand piano's weight of the class on his shoulders every week. But there's one thing you didn't see with Brock Vandegrift. You didn't see the top 100 receiver come in and want to link up and play with Georgia. You don't. You normally see some more of that. And, you know, there were some high-profile guys Georgia went after. They just didn't land them. I think the challenge now with Stockton, and I wrote about this, I'm obviously not an expert in astronomy, but one thing I know about stars is certain stars have gravitational pulls. And what Bear is doing right now is he has magnetism. He has traction. He has a gravitational pull where he's pulling in defensive line priorities. The same thing is happening with young Gunnar Stockton. Whether it's he's known some of these guys since the sixth grade, or he plays with them now on the 7-on-7 circuit, or they played in an FBU or an Army All-American ninth grade camp, ninth grade All-Star game in San Antonio, he's a known product. He is connected. His social network coming out of Raven County is not what we would think. It's just the guys that know and respect and adore Gunnar and the way he carries himself. I think Georgia's chances increased exponentially with Kojo Antwi, with the Nylon Morissette, and Oscar Delp when Gunnar Stockton made the decision to choose Georgia. And then when he was already putting feelers out before he did officially publicly choose Georgia about what he was likely going to do. So that's the thing to watch. Can you get the five-star quarterback with the five-star receivers, or at least the 100 top 100 receivers? Brandon, that's not happened with any of Georgia's recruiting. Let me tell you this. Jake Fromm did not pull in five-star receivers. Jacob Eason did not pull in five-star receivers. He pulled in a five-star athlete in Mecole Hardman Jr. Justin Fields, the amazing Justin Fields, did not pull in five-star receivers with him to Georgia. You keep going on along the line. Really, the 2019 class, which didn't even have a quarterback, that's the one that pulled in the Blaylocks and the George Pickens. That's the one that pulled those guys in. And then 2020, you got a great group of guys that came in to play with Carson Beck. But Carson Beck was not even the five-star quarterback. So you want to talk about synergy, the great things Georgia has done at recruiting the quarterback position. Here's the one-up for Kirby Smart in 2022 and Georgia's recruiting staff. Get that five-star quarterback, but get those five-star receivers or those top 100 receivers to go along with him. You put A and B together right there, and you're going to see a lot of good stuff cooking in Munkin's offense.
Yeah, I mean, let's just be very, very clear about this, that when you look at the five-star quarterbacks that have recently either committed or signed at Georgia, you know, they didn't choose Georgia necessarily because of the offensive reputation of UG. In fact, Brock Vandegrift told you in an interview that if he was making a decision strictly for football reasons, he would have stuck with his original commitment to Oklahoma, not come to UGA. Obviously, the geographic proximity to Vandegrift's home is one of the things that attracted him to UGA. In the case of Gunnar Stockton, you know, the instability at his original commitment to South Carolina, where some people thought he might go Auburn, obviously made the situation at Georgia look a lot more attractive. He also didn't necessarily choose Georgia because of its offensive reputation. So you have quarterbacks who've chosen UGA because it sort of fit their lifestyle, maybe, you know, in a lot of ways. But the wide receivers, I believe, and I'm just being honest here, are still taking a wait-and-see approach on UGA, I believe, because they want to feel confident they're going to be used at the highest level. Now, I believe that Georgia's trending in the right direction offensively, and a lot of these guys are going to see some big things from the Dogs on the field this fall. But frankly, until that happens, Jeff, I actually don't fault receivers for being a little skeptical of, you tell me you're going to use me, but how about you use the guys you have so I can really know that's actually going to happen for me?
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, I think when we did our cover for this week where we had, you know, a topic and we all sliced it and diced it in four different ways. Brandon, I think both you and I actually looked at the wide receiver position because You just wanted Georgia to take the next leap where they have these great talents and they look like all SEC players. And that's the same thing I thought about. There's a lot of places to look. I don't think the secondary is as worrisome as most do. I think Georgia, simply to make it very a quick, succinct statement, Georgia's got to get better at wide receiver. That means Arian Smith, George Pickens, and Jermaine Burton need to be the type of guys that all have around 7 or 8 touchdowns next year.
Yeah.
They need to make those plays. But then the other thing is Georgia's got to get better, literally, in terms of Dominic Blaylock needs to get back to 100%, or at least 100% by September, October. And then the same thing goes with Marcus Rosemy, Jack Saint, because those five gentlemen we just rattled off right there. Brandon, as those five gentlemen go and as JT Daniels feeds those five gentlemen, that will determine, I think, the course of the 2021 season at Georgia.
All right, let's bounce through a couple other topics real quick. You had a good story this week about Jordan James, 4-star running back out of the state of Tennessee, and it kind of leads into kind of where things stand with Georgia's current running back recruitment. This is also a position group that I think is pretty important for this 2022 class. I know Emmanuel Henderson's coming up with his choice. You know, a young man who's got ties to the state of Georgia, but he's obviously out of the state of Alabama. You know, I don't know that I feel great about that. So between Henderson, James, who you've written about, the other names that are out there, what's kind of the thumbnail sketch on the running back situation for Georgia for the 2022 class right now?
Yeah, so I don't even think Henderson is maybe the highest value running back target on the board, but I think he's the one that's going to cause the inertia and the momentum to take place. I called it a domino decision. First of all, Emmanuel Henderson, the number two running back in the country, out of Geneva County in Alabama. That is way south Alabama. Below Dothan, you almost got half a Converse in the state of Florida. That's how south Geneva County is. That's the geographics there. So he's surrounded by Florida State guys, Florida guys, actually Georgia guys, Auburn, Alabama. It's not a whole Alabama, you know, Crimson Tide matrix all the way around him. So he's got family in Georgia. He's visited Georgia prior to the pandemic. So I think his decision will like, let's say it's Alabama, because that I would say would be the clubhouse, I guess, the prohibitive, what most people would say, that's the odds-on favorite to land Emmanuel Henderson. Why? Well, because it's Alabama. And the last player that was good out of his community was like 80 years ago, and he went to Alabama. And then Alabama, to me, has the best resume in college football. Look what they did with the offense. Look what they did with different quarterbacks each year. Look what they've done with Najee Harris. I mean, it's hard to say no to Alabama right now, especially when the geographics all line up. I do think Georgia has a great shot with him, though, because Georgia's been recruiting him harder than anyone going back to his junior year. Georgia was recruiting Emmanuel Henderson like he was a 2021 senior most of the fall, getting good contact periods, getting a chance to visit with him a lot, getting a chance to really build a relationship. I think at one point he told me that he'd only talked to Nick Saban twice, but he talked to Kirby Smart about 9 times. This was a couple months ago. So Georgia's at least tried to overcome everything there in the state of Alabama. But whatever Henderson does, it leaves two options. It's A, Georgia's got to go down to the next running back on the list. And there's some names. There's Kevin White. There's Branson Robinson. There's Jordan James. Those are the names that Georgia will move on from there, because I don't think if he does choose the Tide, then most people are not going to say, well, we're going to flip him in the end. That's just going to be so very hard to do, especially with a young man that's moved up his timetable so much. So it's either going to – it's basically, Brandon, I called him a domino recruit. It's going to set the board for what Georgia does next. And I think that's why the Emmanuel Henderson decision is so important.
I think that's exactly right. Very well. So let me finish with this. We haven't probably done as much as we should on the commitment that Georgia got a week ago from Dequavius Sory. This is a young man, Jeff, that brings so much more to the table, though, than just a tie to Xavier and Sory. There's a lot to like about Dequavius in his own right, is there not?
You've got a top 100 receiver, Brandon. That's what everybody's ringing the bell for, right? Georgia hasn't had enough of those. I think Georgia's only had 6 top 100 receivers since Kirby Smart came in to the program. So Dequavius, Quavo is what he likes to be called sometimes for quick reference on social media, but he's athletic. He's about 6'2", 190 already. Now, he plays for a very small school in Graceville, Florida, and that's why his cousin had to go to IMG to really test his mettle and test his might against the players that are thick in that program. So he had some big stats. I think he had, 14 touchdowns, 1,200 yards, but to me, I think he needs to take a development leap and get a lot better. But that's what you would say for a lot of class of 2023 prospects that are not named Pierce Sperling the third or Richard Young, the running back out of Florida, the Fort Myers area, Justice Haynes, and then especially LT Overton out of Milton High School. Not all 2023s are created equally. So I think there's some development there, but Brandon, we just spent like what, an eighth of our segment right now talking about receivers, and I don't think enough people pump their fist in the air when Georgia's getting in early with a family connection on the top 100 receiver in the class of 2023. I think that needs to become a staple for Georgia recruiting. Much more top 100 receivers.
Yeah, listen, make it easy when you can. If you've got a good relationship with Xavier Story, then why not see if you can leverage that for DeQuavius Story there as well? I'm all for working smarter, not harder. This certainly seems to be an example of that.
Yeah, and it's funny. Here's what you tell. You can sit there and go, wow, how's Xavier Story fitting in so far? How's he coming along? How many haircuts is he given? How's he going to trot out that barber chair when Georgia's palatial new facility opens? Well, when his cousin commits to Georgia roughly about a month after he's been there, you can kind of tell that you don't need a full-blown expose interview to know. You know, Xavier Story must be having a pretty good time and enjoying the fit and the confines of Athens, Georgia, and being a Georgia Bulldog right now.
I think that's exactly right. Jeff, great stuff. Thanks for being here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger today. Sure enough, for the folks who have not seen the full interview that we talked about off the top of our program and with you at the beginning of our interview with UGA defensive line commit Bear Alexander, make sure you check that out. Dog Nation video channels for that. Go to the Dog Nation YouTube page. It's probably the easiest to find right there. The most recent edition of Before the Hedges presented by Kroger. Jeff, hope you have a great weekend. I'll look forward to speaking to you soon, and thanks for being with us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger today.
Yeah, guys, I don't say this much, but I thought the Bear Alexander interview was going to be amazing. It turned out even better than that. So do yourself a favor. It's going to be rainy. Find yourself some time to get to know Bear Alexander. And if you don't want to go out and buy the loved ones or your wife or yourself or your kids that number 99 jersey, because it's going to have at least 4 years of great shelf life in Athens now, then you can come back and, you know, drop a complaint in the suggestion box, and we'll try to do better next time, because you're really going to love Big Bear Alexander.
Good stuff, Jeff. Thank you very much.
Have a good weekend. Bye.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I love the idea, as Jeff says there at the end of our discussion, of another number 99 for Georgia. It's kind of weird. Sometimes adults don't really have favorite players. That's kind of a kid thing, but I guess I'm sort of a kid at heart. I would say that Jordan Davis has been pretty close to my favorite player at Georgia. Sort of, I just have always enjoyed his personality. I obviously think he's a great player on the field. And having another player like that kind of coming in the wings at Georgia, even if at times maybe Alexander sees himself as a slightly different player comparison, I think all that's really fun. So incredible stuff right there. Hey, let me give a quick shout out to my friends at a Harris Cherokee Casino Resort before we move on to our SEC Through. Of course, there are two great properties up there in the gorgeous mountains of Western North Carolina. There's Harris Cherokee Casino Resort. There's the Harris Cherokee Valley River. They are both a two-hour drive from Atlanta. And when you want the great getaway that includes really fun gaming floor, completely reimagined with social distance in mind, whether it comes to luxury shopping options, a world-class spa, gourmet dining, all the things that you really are looking for when you get ready to take a weekend getaway or something along those lines, please make sure you keep Harris Cherokee Casino Resort in mind. It's so easy to get to, so much fun once you get there. The book is opening up, sports gaming coming here to Harris Cherokee Casino Resort. That's coming, you know, very, very soon here. Just a wonderful getaway. I love getting a chance to go there, be up there. Many of you have done the same thing. It's terrific fun. And I'll also encourage you that if you want the best possible experience, get the rewards and incentives that come from becoming a Caesars Rewards member. Go to the website caesars.com/harris-cherokee. You can find out more about that. That's caesars.com/harris-cherokee. And you can find out about all the great things going on at both the Harris Cherokee Casino Resort properties. All right. So here is something that's going to be fun later on today, and admittedly, I don't always become proud of myself for how spiteful I can occasionally be, but this is an example where I'm probably going to be just a little bit spiteful here. There is a five-star quarterback, Ty Simpson, who is out of Martin, Tennessee, and he's set to make his college choice today. He's going to do that, choosing between Alabama, Clemson, usual suspects here. There's also, I guess, some consideration for Tennessee, although almost no one thinks he's going to go to Tennessee. This is going to be a very interesting thing to watch on social media later on from Vols fans who've kind of talked themselves into the idea they could be involved for Simpson. It's going to conjure up a lot of memories for them. You know, they kind of view Trevor Lawrence as one that got away. Lawrence, obviously from Cartersville, Georgia, but I guess the chatter was he kind of grown up as a Tennessee fan. And when Lawrence went to Clemson instead of going, in their mind, to Tennessee, they're really disappointed about that. There has also just been a mass exodus of elite players out of the state of Tennessee in recent years. Whether you want to think about, you know, Cade Mays initially coming to Georgia, certainly T. Higgins going to Clemson. You've had a lot of examples of, like, big-time players who've just not really viewed Tennessee as a strong consideration, at least coming straight out of high school here. So Simpson's going to kind of conjure up some of that kind of stuff. Now, as far as the battle goes between Clemson or Alabama, I guess there's some online chatter connecting to Alabama as of late, but this is a fairly big domino to fall for the class of 2022. I believe it's going to fall later on this afternoon. Ty Simpson from the state of Tennessee is going to make a college choice. It's not going to be Tennessee, at least in all likelihood, I don't think. Could be Clemson, probably going to be Alabama. So a five-star quarterback getting ready to drop later on today. If you want to watch some Vols fans, you know, sad on social media, you may get a chance to do that before it's all said and done this afternoon. Somewhere, and by the way, I always think that South Carolina has a very underrated video department when it comes to, like, producing videos, things like this. Gamecocks running back Marshawn Lloyd put out a fun video kind of showing him getting back to full health here, getting going. Lloyd, I think, is one of the really interesting figures in the SEC for the upcoming season because, obviously, one of the things that I think hurt South Carolina a year ago was the fact that Marshawn Lloyd, you'll remember Lloyd as a running back that was one time on the radar for UGA recruitment. Well, you know, Lloyd goes to South Carolina, gets hurt, not a factor in his first year on campus there in Columbia, and ultimately a South Carolina team that has been looking for a running game for quite some time, not really able to probably define it to the degree they wanted to. The absence of Lloyd was certainly a factor in all of that. Well, all of a sudden now, Marshawn Lloyd's healthy again. All of a sudden now, you know, he's kind of putting out some videos, making it sound like he's, you know, kind of ready to go and be a big factor here. For a Shane Beamer first year at South Carolina, admittedly, that I think is going to have some struggles. If you could get something out of Lloyd, if he truly is healthy and if he truly is ready to be kind of a focal point of an offense, all of a sudden at that point in time, things kind of look a little bit better for the Gamecocks. By the way, speaking of them, they showed up actually relatively high on a list that our friends at Saturday Down South did of the top running back situations in the SEC for the upcoming year. Georgia at number two on this list, as you might imagine, but just one spot behind that was South Carolina, mentioning the fact that Kevin Harris had 1,100 yards a year ago, Marshawn Lloyd coming back. So some expectations here that the Gamecocks might actually find the running game that was actually so hard to conjure up for most of the Will Muschamp era. After that, you get Auburn at number four on the Saturday Down South list, LSU at number five, Ole Miss at number six, Alabama surprisingly all the way down at number seven. Obviously, maybe not expecting Brian Robinson, the former fairly highly recruited player, to kind of step in and be replacement for Najee Harris. Of course, at some point in time, you think about Sanders coming back, another name that Georgia fans will remember from the recruiting trail. And then you get to Florida at number eight. And this is always going to be my problem with Florida. For the people who want to act like Florida is a true, legitimate national championship contender, you are never going to be that with the eighth best running game in the SEC. And yes, I realize that Florida beat Georgia a year ago, and we'll talk before the show is done about Georgia getting their revenge on all of that. But the notion that Dan Mullen is building something real, something that lasts at Florida, not with the eighth best rushing attack in the SEC, at least if we take our friends at Saturday Down South at their word on that. By the way, one more thing on this topic. I told you before, Georgia number two, probably no big surprise there. We don't know who the best running back is yet in that Georgia running back room. We may find out in the early going of the 2021 season. We know there are a lot of guys who truly, really can play, though. So you're no surprise to see Georgia near the top there on that. But do you know who number one was? As I've been telling you, Texas A&M. That's a program that is finding a way to run the football. When you think about the emerging programs in the SEC, told you this a year ago. I believe I was proven correct. I'll say this again now. What A&M is doing with Jimbo Fisher on both offensive and defensive lines of scrimmage, it's worth watching, worth paying attention to for sure. We'll make that your SEC through. And as we get ready to wrap up here today, of course, we'll do so in style with our Gator Hater roll call. I love giving you a chance to show off your Gator Hater credentials, and I invite you to share whatever you want to share with me on Twitter about this at Dog Nation Daily. We'll continue to honor some folks. In fact, let me give a shout out to Thomas Delaney today. He's also a multi-time winner of our Gator Hater updater and our golden shoe here. So here's what he gives you. He gives you a Airball Dan from Drew Felchetta, kind of like a children's book type thing with the ball going up, explosive offense, admittedly does beat Georgia. Then after that, the ball starts coming back down. Lose to LSU, lose to Alabama in the SEC a title game, get hammered by Oklahoma. And it definitely was a little bit of an upward climb before having a big, big drop after that, four-loss Florida. Of course, they're still really proud of that. Thomas, you are the golden shoe winner for today. How about our Gator Hater countdown? 246 days from now, Georgia gets its revenge against Florida, we believe. We'll see you Monday, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger.